Hello, Grace Online. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to 2 Chronicles 29, or if you've got your app on your phone, go ahead and go there. We're going to go Old Testament today. And as you're turning there, let's talk some football, shall we? I mean, it's that time of year again. This is unofficially the last weekend of summer. School is back. The leaves will soon be turning colors. College football is starting up this week, and next week the NFL kicks off again. And teams have been in training camp the last few weeks and months. They're gearing up so that they can play well together. And this week, for some reason, my mind has been thinking a lot about defending the run. Because when you're on defense and you're against a team running the ball, it is critical that everyone covers their assigned hole. See, on a running play, the other team is working hard to create space in the defensive line. When the ball is snapped, the offensive linemen, they're pushing and they're shifting guys out of the way, trying to create a gap for the running back to run through. And as a defense, you're not always sure which gap they're going to try to come through and where they're going to create that hole until the moment comes. And so teams create labels for the spaces in between their defensive linemen. See, there's the A gap, that's between the center and the guard. Then there's the B gap, that's between the guard and the tackle, etc. You can go either way. If you're a linebacker on defense, that means you're step back off the line. And at times you're going to be assigned to one of those gaps to say, hey, cover that gap. I'll be on A gap, you be on B gap. And when the ball is snapped, as a hole opens up, you step into that assigned gap and you make sure that it gets closed up again. If you don't step into your assignment, what happens? Well, the other team's running back runs through the hole you've left and gets a big play. Maybe they score a touchdown on you. And so it is critically important that each guy on defense knows his assignment and doesn't hesitate to step into it once the play is in motion. In the same way, you and I have an assignment that we are called to step into, a spiritual assignment from God. Sometimes that assignment is specific. We're called to certain things, or certain people, certain ministries. But we also have an assignment that goes before that, an assignment to love God with all of our mind and heart and soul and strength, and an assignment to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, all followers of Jesus have this calling on their life. They live it out by finding their unique place in God's kingdom, where their gifts are. This is where those specific assignments come into play. And today, this is almost a bridge of sorts. I've been thinking all week about the last month we've had together during the Firefall series, all of the things that God has been calling each and every one of you to. And I've been thinking ahead as well to what is to come at the start of our new ministry year, what God wants to do, the lives he wants to change, the things he's going to accomplish. And he is inviting us into that, to participate and to be a part of it. I am so excited about what is to come this year for us as a church and as individual believers. And so on this Sunday, our big idea is that God is calling each of us to step into our assignment. Because each of us has the opportunity to be faithful. Each of us has the opportunity to follow God, to take a chance and step into our assignment and see what he might do. When we do that, great things happen. And so what's yours? Maybe God has been speaking to you over the last month. Maybe he'll speak to you today. I want you to keep two questions at the forefront of your mind as we read God's word together today. The first one is, what is my assignment? What's my assignment? And the second one is, am I willing to step into my assignment and see what God might do? And so keep that word from the Lord in your mind, anything you've been hearing from God over the last month, anything that he prompts you about today. And to help us work through those questions, we're going to take a look at the story of a king in the Old Testament who had a choice. Do I follow the ways of my father and the kings who came before, or do I break with their ways and follow God again? His assignment started with him, but in the end, God used it to impact an entire people. His name was Hezekiah. Before we get into 2 Chronicles 29, let me paint a picture of the situation in the time of his day. See, we just finished studying the prophet Elijah and his interaction with Ahab, the king of Israel. Remember that after the reign of Solomon, the nation of Israel split into two kingdoms, Israel to the north with 10 of the tribes and Judah to the south with the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And so while Elijah was working in the north with King Ahab, Hezekiah is the 13th king of Judah, and he's following his father Ahaz, who reigned for 16 years and was an evil king. See, under Ahaz's leadership, Judah returns to sanctioned idolatry. In fact, we read in 2 Kings 16:3 that he even burned his own son as an offering to the pagan gods. And in the chapter preceding the passage we're going to read today, it tells us that Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and he cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, which is the temple, and he made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. I mean, Ahaz was a little more than misguided. He was off the deep end crazy. Not only was he promoting idol worship, but he closed down the temple. He had abandoned God completely. Let me talk about the temple for a second so you can understand what it means. See, it's built by King Solomon. It was the permanent resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark were the two tablets that Moses received from God, the tablets that had the Ten Commandments on them. Prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, atonement was the process God established whereby humans would make an offering to God to restore fellowship with him. The temple was the only place in the world where atonement could take place. And the offering, which would include both live and dead animals, was required to appease the wrath of God and the anger for past sins committed. See, there was no way to find forgiveness without a substitute to take your place. And that offering would serve as that substitute for you so you could make things right with God. And so when Ahaz closes the temple, effectively, there is no place on earth to seek forgiveness from God. And this is the world that Hezekiah grew up in. Fortunately, we see here that Hezekiah isn't like his father. Amazingly, his heart is still drawn to God, and his desire is to worship God again, to bring him honor and glory, and to stop chasing after idols. And so let's see what he does. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 29, starting in verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So two things I want you to see right away. The first is Hezekiah knew what his assignment was. He didn't need a thunderbolt. He didn't need a sign. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. And that's a calling that each of us can live out every day in our own context. The second thing is there is always an option to turn back. And I want you to see that. There is always an option to course correct. If there's some sort of history of brokenness in your family, you don't have to follow in the pattern of your parents if there is that history. You always have the option to break that cycle and become free from the sort of hangups you grew up with. Hezekiah grew up with a deep brokenness in his family when it came to the things of God. And he said, no more. My time will be different. And he stepped into his assignment. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 4, he brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east and said to them, hear me, Levites. Now consecrate yourselves and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps that have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord came on Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of horror, of astonishment, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not now be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him and to be ministers and make offerings to him. So there's really so much to this passage, but here's how I think it can really help us today. I want you to see that what God does in Hezekiah's life, he can absolutely do in your life as well. And I want you to understand as we go through this passage, why it is so important for you to follow through and step into the calling that God has placed on your life. Why it's so important to follow God, to worship him, to accept his invitation to do more with your life. So with the time we have today, let's look at three reasons to step into your assignment. Three reasons that for you and for me, we can't stay in our own place of chasing after other things. We can't sit back and accept a situation where people don't have the ability to know God and grow in Him. The first reason is that when you step into your assignment, you will be challenged to grow. When you say yes to God, when you say, okay, Lord, I want to love you with all of my mind, all of my heart, all of my soul, all my strength. Okay, Lord, I will step into what that means for me personally. When you say that, you will experience exponentially more spiritual growth than when you're holding back something from God. Your faith will increase, your trust in God will increase, and your love for God and your love for others will increase. Almost always, when we say yes to an assignment from God, He calls us to something that is going to stretch us, something that is going to challenge us to be better people than we were before. Not only that, but as you step into your assignment, your willingness to follow God will challenge others to grow. Look at verse 10. This is Hezekiah speaking. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel. See, it starts with Hezekiah, his willingness to follow God and to do what is right. He sees what is wrong. Worship isn't happening. There are people who need to find hope and healing and forgiveness in God, but they literally can't because the temple is closed. He sees that situation and he says, this must change. When one person decides in their heart to step into their assignment, big things can happen, because from there, that challenge is extended out to the people he has influence over. The Levites are invited into a huge challenge to clean and to restore the temple, and in the process, to consecrate themselves. Hezekiah challenged the priests and the Levites to obey God like he was obeying God, and he makes it clear where they are and why they can't stay here. I also love that we see that Hezekiah, he acts promptly. He allows himself no time for hesitation. I mean, I cannot count the number of times that I've seen a need or hear a prompting, and soon after I find myself questioning my abilities, my time, or my resources. Have you ever had that experience too? And I think to myself, man, who's in control, God or me? Because there are at least 169 verses in the Bible that refer to the ways God provides for us. Philippians 4:19 puts it simply, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You see, delay never softens the hard aspects of our duty or lessens its difficulties. In committing to the service of Christ, there is no other time better than the first year, the first month, the first day, or better yet, the first hour after seeing or hearing the need. And it is so easy to sit and relax and just enjoy life, to be comfortable, especially if you've just walked through a difficult season or you've served for many, many years. The temptation, however, is to stay in that place. Remember, there is nothing that we can do on earth that we can't do in heaven except share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with people who do not yet know him. What are you doing to make it possible for people to come to know Jesus? Just as Hezekiah did, I want to encourage you to make a covenant with the Lord. You might say, what's a covenant? And you don't hear much about covenants today. You usually hear about contracts. Although contracts have some similarities with covenants, they're not the same at all. A covenant is generally understood to be a formal agreement between two or more persons to do or not do something that is specified in that covenant. It could include an incidental clause, such as an agreement, or even include a specific law. It may include a binding agreement or a compact. A biblical covenant is similar in many ways, with the only real differences being that the parties involved are God and man. And so, as you encounter God, I want you to share your desire to be part of his mission. Make a covenant. Say, I want to be part of your mission, God, and ask him for direction and boldness. Say, God, if you will lead me and guide me, I'm all in with you. I love the local church, and especially Grace, because we proclaim the truth. We welcome all people. We offer tools and opportunities for people to know Jesus and provide safe and friendly environments. Who are you praying for that you can invite to experience the love of God with you at Grace Online? See, as we're adjusting our service times, we're going to be making room and providing opportunities for people who do not know Jesus to find hope and purpose and forgiveness as they encounter him alongside us. And when those who have accepted Christ hear Hezekiah's call in verse 11, my sons, do not now be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him and to be his ministers and to make offerings to him. When God's people hear that, and in so doing, experience a sense of joy like never before, it is going to be incredible around here, guys. We're going to see God move in a powerful way. And the priests and the Levites got this. God is calling you to be the ones who will stand in his presence as well. When you step up to serve, when you take time to send a word of encouragement in the chat, when you invite someone to check out Grace Online, you will grow and you will encourage the people around you to grow. And so that's the first reason to step into your assignment. But the second reason to step into your assignment is that the need is great. So Hezekiah and the Levites, they clean out the temple, they do that work, they consecrate themselves before the Lord, and they make an offering. Worship of God is beginning to start again. Let's keep reading and see what happens. Verse 31, then Hezekiah said, you have now consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord. And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of willing heart brought burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings that the assembly brought was 70 bulls and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All of these were for burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated offerings were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few and could not flay all the burnt offerings, so other priests had consecrated themselves. Their brothers, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished, for the Levites were more upright in heart than the priests in consecrating themselves. Because of the great number of burnt offerings, there was a fat of peace offerings, and there were drink offerings for the burnt offerings. Thus the service of the house of the Lord was restored, and Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had provided for the people, and the thing came about suddenly. Now, if you're an animal lover, first of all, I'm sorry. But secondly, I need you to try to understand what's going on here. There is suddenly a great need for people to serve in the temple. Because of the example Hezekiah and the Levites set, more people realized that they were far from God and said, I need to be right with God. And so they returned to the Lord, or at least they tried to. But so many people came with a heart for God that there were not enough priests to help, and the need was great. So these Levites, who are still tired from just having cleaned out the temple, step up again and help, as do others. This situation in Israel in Hezekiah's day reminds me so much of what God has been doing this year at Grace. We've seen such an amazing amount of growth, people who are coming and trying to find a relationship with God and grow. Grace Online services have increased in the number of people attending every single year. It's causing us to say, we need to make some changes. We need to provide room for people to come and experience the love of God more and more. And our desire, and yours too, I'm sure, is to connect people with the gifts and the passions that match the opportunities that are available. My prayer today is that each one of us would want to be a part of what God is up to here at Grace, that we would be fired up about the lives of each person that God has placed in our circles of influence, that we would focus on what is truly important, and that we would respond to God's command to be his ministers in verse 11. Just like the kings of Israel and Judah, we set the tone for spiritual growth, or sadly, spiritual stagnation. Those of us who are employed, those of us who are retired, those of us who are married, those of us who are single, those of us who are parents, those of us that live with our parents, those of us that have friends, those of us who don't want friends, we need to lead by example. Like Hezekiah, we need to serve and worship together. So if you live close to one of Grace's physical locations, ask yourself, where can I serve so that I can make room for someone who is coming this fall who needs to know about Jesus? And if you attend exclusively online, we have such a need for caring people who will serve as chat hosts or pray and connect with people after the service or help us with things like our website, which is an entryway to people coming to attend. Where can you step into an assignment so that the need can be met? You know, there was some research done a few years ago by the Barna Group that reveals that today's unchurched are much less likely to come from a church background than ever before. Furthermore, unchurched people today have different expectations of church involvement from those of previous decades. Now, more than ever, we need to reflect Jesus in every aspect of our lives. No halfway hobbies like the video we saw 2 weeks ago, where Pastor John challenged us to follow God with full devotion and bold obedience. Guys, the stakes are high. And the Barna study showed that, in spite of a Christian self-description, more than one-third of America's adults are essentially secular in belief and practice. The unchurched are becoming less responsive to churches' efforts to connect with them. For example, conventional wisdom says that the best way to get people to visit a church is to have friends invite them. And the conventional wisdom is right. The churchless interviewed were most open to a friend of yours inviting you to attend a local church, with one-fifth expressing strong interest and nearly half willing to consider a church based on this factor. An invitation from a friend is the top way churches can establish connections with the unchurched. Church is becoming increasingly unfamiliar to millions of Americans, and this is particularly scary to me. There could be a day in the near future where someone who realizes they are broken will have no reference point to the truth. These trends and data need to change, and we have the opportunity to play a major part in it. It is unbelievably exciting and humbling to be a part of a church like Grace, where we are trending in a positive direction. But we can't stop. Paul tells us in Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Our last reason to step into your assignment today is that more lives will be changed. I want you to skip ahead with me to chapter 30. What ends up happening in this story as Hezekiah and the Levites step up and say yes to God is that ultimately worship is restored to the temple and a great multitude of people comes to know God. So many lives are changed because one person was willing to step into their assignment and then others were willing to follow. It started with Hezekiah. Look at chapter 30, verse 24. "And the priests consecrated themselves in great numbers, the whole assembly of Judah and the priests and the Levites and the whole assembly that came out of Israel and sojourners who came out of the land of Israel and the sojourners who lived in Judah rejoiced. So there was a great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy habitation in heaven." This is amazing. We see people from both sides, Israel and Judah, coming in and being able to worship, being united as a people again and worshiping God. It went from Hezekiah to the Levites, to the priests, to the people in Jerusalem, and now to the whole country. More and more lives being changed. And this is what I want to see for us. This is what I want us to get a chance to participate in as a church, to see people from all over the country and the world come to know God in a deeper way, to have their hearts and their lives changed and to grow in Him. We stand at the same crossroads today at Grace, and hopefully the need is only going to get greater. Are you following God with your full devotion and bold obedience? Do you feel closer to Jesus than you did 1 month, 6 months, a year ago? If not, why? What needs to change in your life? There are some amazing things happening here at Grace. Dozens of people have made a decision for Christ, and dozens more have been baptized in the last year. Each one of these folks have made a public declaration of their faith, acknowledging their desire to be fully devoted followers of Christ. We've had almost 200 people enrolled in CORE in the past year. These are people that have indicated that they want to know more about Grace, its values and beliefs, and better yet, they want to know how they can grow personally so that they can be fully devoted followers. This is real stuff. I mean, ask the couple whose marriage was restored because another couple invested in them for a season. Ask the woman who did not know God, she lost her husband, and after being invited to Grace has found hope and purpose. Ask the family who's finding that their 2-year-old is memorizing scripture in Grace Kids on a Sunday morning. This is just the beginning. What God has done before, He wants to multiply for us if we would be faithful, if we would step in instead of stepping out. As I close today, I want you to remember something. Jesus died on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice. There was no longer a need for a brick and mortar temple to find forgiveness. We gather as a church because He asked us to, that we would encourage one another to live for Him and proclaim the joy that comes from being forgiven and free. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And later, Paul reminds us in Galatians 5, verse 1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We've been set free. But Paul later cautions each of us to not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love to serve one another. How are you going to respond to the amazing grace of God that you've received? Romans 12 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This passage says that we're to give ourselves entirely to God. I found a quote from Philip Brooks that I love. It does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men. And that word's been used a couple times today in our passage, consecrate. It means to dedicate ourselves to God, to be fully devoted followers of Christ. And Philip goes on to say that Paul is essentially saying, therefore, he's saying, now that you're justified by grace through faith and at peace with God, he's saying, now that you are redeemed from the power of sin, now that you are being progressively set apart from the world and unto God, and finally, knowing that you will soon be glorified on the basis of these precious and magnificent promises, Paul is begging Christians to live a certain way in light of what God did for them. Paul pleads for us to give God our bodies. There must be a final and complete surrender of who we are to Jesus Christ. This does not mean that there will be no further steps of surrender, because there will be. The longer we walk with Christ, the deeper the fellowship must become. But there can be no subsequent steps without that first step. And we cannot delay in taking the first step. We are not going to stay where we are as a church, and you can't stay where you are as a Christ follower. We can't, you can't, the stakes are too high. And so I have just one next step this morning, and that is for you to commit to attend and to serve, to consecrate yourself. See, the need is there and the time is now. And so click on the Connect tab right now and let us know you're ready to step into an assignment at Grace, either at one of our physical locations or here online. You know, sometimes I hear people say that a church of our size, it doesn't really need more help. And on the surface, things seem to go pretty smoothly. They must have all the volunteers that they could possibly need. Let me tell you, oftentimes there's a lot of scrambling that happens in a week or on Sunday morning. And I would love to see each of you serving faithfully in your giftings and creating an opportunity for more and more people's lives to be changed. At the end of chapter 29, the service of the house of the Lord was restored, and Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had provided. We are believing that he is going to do the same thing for us. Don't shrink back, step in. God is calling each one of us to step into our assignment and be part of his story. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you that you have invited us into your story to participate, that you will guide us and lead us, that if one person would step out and say, I will press into you to love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, to love my neighbors, myself, I will take that assignment on. I will live out these assignments that you have for me in my own personal gifting. If one person does that, that it can challenge and change and affect so many others. We saw it in our passage today. And so God, have your way in your church. We pray that many more people will come to know you. We pray that many people who can hear the sound of my voice would step up and step in and decide to serve, decide to say, I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to participate in that and use my gifts in that. And that God, through that we'd grow. And through that, many lives would be changed. We love you. It's your name we pray.